Hey, it's a day before Thanksgiving. We got lots to get to today. We'll get to Kyle Rittenhouse. I don't know about this kid. We'll get to him. We'll get to the evil, awful Daryl Brooks and the media taking a totally different approach to him. We'll get to crazy old Joe Biden. What a day he had yesterday. And we'll get to Thanksgiving. It's tomorrow. If you're going to be sitting there at the table filled with relatives and they're going to start talking about politics, what do you do? How do you handle it? We'll get to all of that. Also, the woke progressive movement, the ultra-liberal crazies, it may be coming to an end. There's evidence that it's about to blow up in their faces. Joe Biden, the president of the United States. Hey, we just call him Joe Biden. You know, we used to say President Trump. It just can't say the phrase President Biden. It doesn't work. It just doesn't come out right. Anyway, Joe Biden is in Nantucket. What kind of place is that for Thanksgiving? You know, it's great in July. Who goes to Nantucket in November? There's got to be something to this. Nobody goes to Nantucket for Thanksgiving. If you wanted like a real New England Thanksgiving, maybe Vermont, maybe Maine, maybe Massachusetts, or, you know, where the Pilgrims were. Nantucket Thanksgiving? Something is going on here. You have to check records, travel records, to see, are the Ukrainians coming to the island? Is there some kind of, some Russians, some Chinese, some Ukrainians meeting with Hunter? Is there something going? There's some reason this is Nantucket. This makes no sense at all. So yesterday, the big question was the oil prices, the gas prices, up from $1.90 during the Trump years to $2 to $3 to $4. We've seen pictures of these California gas station signs, $6 a gallon. It's unbelievable. So Biden snaps into action like he always does. You know, the supply chain totally clogged up. The supply chain in crisis. He snapped into action. He went to that port in Baltimore, which has no problem at all. It's the one port that doesn't have a problem. He went to this port in Baltimore just so he could have a ship in the background and made a speech for 90 seconds as if that solves the problem. He actually believes to have spoken is to have acted. If you make a speech, that's it. So yesterday, a silly speech on gas prices, and he will tap the Strategic Petroleum Reserve and release whatever amount of gallons. Well, they figured it out. That would help the crisis for about an hour and a half. It's about 1 day, 2 days of gasoline. It means absolutely nothing, makes no difference. So he makes this little speech, and then makes a little announcement. You know, my old friend George Steinbrenner, I always remember he said, when you give to charity, when you do something for charity, when you do something for somebody like that, nobody should know about it. If anybody knows about it, besides you and the person you gave the money to, you did it for the wrong reason. You're trying to take credit for it. Make a big donation to charity, you don't take credit for it. You do some act of charity for somebody, you don't mention it, you just do it. Listen to Biden. He's, you know, and it's not just him. This is a big liberal thing. These crazy left-wing, if they go to a soup kitchen to feed the homeless, they do it for like 2 hours on Thanksgiving. The rest of the year, the homeless never see them. They can't be bothered ever to say, you know, I could see if you went and did this 2 days a week forever. But just for a couple hours on Thanksgiving, they can't take enough credit. They're putting pictures on Facebook. They're telling you how wonderful they are. They're feeling blessed. Anyway, here's Joe Biden at the end of the speech. He's going to go feed the homeless, but he's for 5 minutes, but he wants credit. Listen to him at the end of the speech. Oh, we don't hear it. No sound? Let me try to. All right, let's try it
now. I'm heading to a food kitchen to serve meals right now. Thank you for your time and effort. I'll have plenty of time to talk to you later.
Thank you. The reason for all that, the president called a press conference and all the press, media from all over the world has assembled in this auditorium, and he walks out and he speaks for 2 seconds, says he's going to a soup kitchen and leaves. What did you ask them all to come there for if you're not going to answer any questions? So, and they're all dumbfounded. They've never seen this before. Any president answers. You could argue how many questions some will answer. You know, Donald Trump would stand there for an hour and answer 80 questions. You know, some presidents only answer 6 questions. But he wouldn't. He just wants credit for the soup kitchen. And then
I'm heading to a food kitchen to serve meals right now. Thank you for your time and effort. I'll have plenty of time to talk to you later. Thank you. Thank you.
No questions. I can't believe. So he's at the food kitchen. You see the pictures later where he's there to help these poor people. But you look at them. They look in much better shape than him. Looks like they should be feeding him. And here's the interesting part. Dr. Jill Biden is there with him. And Kamala Harris has come to do the same thing. They got the little aprons on. They're behind the counter there, and they're passing out food. They got the tongs and the big spoon, and they're feeding the homeless. But everybody noticed that he wouldn't look at Kamala Harris. She wouldn't look at him. Totally snubbed each other. They're pretty close to each other for about half an hour or whatever it was, and they never, ever acknowledged each other or looked at each other. Now, that tells you everything. Now, he's snubbing her, but this is good for her. She knows this is very good for her, because if she ever wants to run for anything, do anything, to have nothing to do with Joe Biden is an advantage. To be able to say, I don't know the guy, I had nothing to do with him, I never spoke to him, that can really help in the future. Now, here's the other thing. Kyle Rittenhouse, of course, was slandered by Joe Biden. He made Kyle Rittenhouse seem like a white supremacist. And Kyle Rittenhouse, according to every attorney we've spoken to, according to every legal expert, has a pretty good chance of collecting money from Joe Biden. He could sue him. He's not a white supremacist. He's not a racist. There's never been any evidence of this anywhere that anybody could point to. So in a lawsuit, he most likely would win. And Supreme Court has ruled you can't sue a president for presidential actions, but you can sue the president while in office for things he did before becoming president. And when Joe Biden did that, it was during the campaign. He was a private citizen. He tried to paint this kid as a white supremacist. So this could be a pretty good lawsuit. And remember, it's the Biden family, and there's probably a lot of money there. Many, many, many millions. If you got into that kind of lawsuit, you can probably get access to a lot of financial records between Joe and Hunter and the whole family. So this could be pretty interesting. So far, Joe Biden has refused to apologize. He's been asked a few times. By the way, yesterday he's reading his speech. Now, he's trying to pretend like this is him speaking, but he's reading it off the teleprompter, and there's a quote in there, and they put little stage directions because he's so dopey. You can't just put the quote signs, because that won't be enough. He won't understand. You have to put in parentheses, this is the end of the quote. But he reads it. It's just like a stage direction, but listen to him read it.
Because of the actions we've taken, things have begun to change. End of quote. In the past.
So a Ron Burgundy moment there from the president. So here's the other thing. This Kyle Rittenhouse seems a little off, this kid. I mean, there's something wrong there. Is he just immature? He was trying to be a good Samaritan. He was trying to help people in the riot. He was playing medic. But who takes a rifle and goes to a riot? Anyway, let's say that's okay. But he's acquitted. This is great news. He wasn't guilty of anything. It was obviously self-defense. No racism is possible here because nobody was black. And it's all white people. He's white. The people he shot are white. Everybody's white in the whole story. So there can't be any racism. There's none of that. It's self-defense, pretty obvious. The guys coming at him were extremely dangerous criminals. Rosenbaum, the lead attacker, had spent his entire adult life in prison. He's a child rapist. He was carrying a gun, threatening to kill this 17-year-old, coming at him with a gun. He tried to grab Rittenhouse's rifle away from him. The other one is a criminal who'd been in prison. I mean, these are dangerous guys coming at him. So it's totally self-defense. But this kid, Kyle Rittenhouse, was slandered round the clock by all the networks, by if you watch CNN or MSNBC, they just sat and called him a racist, a white supremacist, he's a racist, all day long. So he's got a great lawsuit. This kid will be worth $300 million before the spring. Now, on the other hand, you got this parade murderer, this killer, Daryl Brooks, who killed these people in the parade, who's the worst guy in the world, besides being a criminal. Besides having a million crimes, and he's been arrested, he's been every bad thing you can imagine. They look on all of his social media. He's a racist, an avowed racist who calls for the violence against white people. He attacks white people. All he's pro-Hitler. It's the one white guy he likes is Hitler. So he's got BLM all over his social media. He's got Hitler. He hates white people. He says this all over the place in his social media. of violence against white. So he's an actual racist, Nazi racist. So CNN, MSNBC, nothing. They don't attack the guy. They're very quiet all of a sudden. Joe Biden, quiet. Doesn't, nothing to say about this guy. So the double standard is so glaring. Now people are starting to realize, you got to remember, most of the public, they're not, you know, if you listen to talk radio, if you follow all this so closely, you know this stuff backwards and forwards. But the average person, they're not watching all of this. They're not listening to all of this. It's just casual. They'll put on the nightly news for 20 minutes. They'll glance at the newspaper. That's about it. So they're starting to realize you can't do that anymore. You're being totally deceived. They were led to believe that this was some white supremacist who shot three black people. Now they're finding out nobody was black. The whole thing was a hoax. And they're starting to realize they've been really conned about a lot of things, from the Russia hoax, Russian collusion, to millions of other things. They were conned. Andrew Cuomo is a great governor. He's a great leader. Russians offered cash bounties to the Taliban to kill American soldiers, all these stories that weren't even true. And this, people are starting to detect now a little movement around the country, a little rebellion against the media. And now the other thing is, and in every case, Democrats go too far when they take everything. When they've got the White House, the House, and the Senate, they always go too far. Happened to Obama, happened to Bill Clinton, and then in the midterms, they lose the Congress. Well, that'll happen here, but on a bigger scale than ever before. This time, forget going too far. They went nuclear this time with defund the police. We'll get rid of the police. Let's get rid of the prisons. Democrats in Congress, the squad, now calling to close down all the federal prisons. Just let everybody act. And it's starting to really sink in with people that don't even follow the news how deadly this situation is. You know, San Francisco's been lost. It's a war zone. Los Angeles is about to go under. It's just crime and looting and smashing windows of every store taken. Well, now this whole movement, you can't say looting. Looting is a racist term. Looting is a bad. Well, obviously, it's what it is. It's looting. So all of this is starting to sink in with people, especially younger people. They're starting to realize they're just getting conned. Look at this January 6th commission. People are starting to realize this is a hoax, this January 6th commission. Yesterday, this all came out. John Solomon, good for him, the great reporter. The January 6th commission had issued all these subpoenas. Bernie Kerik, former police commissioner, subpoenaed for his role in January 6th. And why was he there that day, that night? How do they know it's in the Bob Woodward book? Well, reporters check into this. Bernie Kerik wasn't there. He was nowhere near Washington. In fact, he was able to easily produce his Easy Pass, his GPS off his cell phone. He was in New York. He never went near Washington, D.C. So they went back to this Bob Woodward book. How did Woodward get this? Well, it turns out it's not in the Woodward book. It never said that. So they got a hold of Bob Woodward. Was this in your notes, or was it almost in the book? He says, no, I never talked to Bernie Kerik. I don't know anything about Bernie Kerik. So the whole thing was total fiction. And here was this January 6th commission announcing all this, putting this out in official statements, issuing subpoenas. It just total made-up hoax from the January 6th commission. And then you get this Jerry Nadler, this pathetic, waddling disgrace of a congressman. I hate to say it. He's from New York City. This awful Jerry Nadler, just a horrible, repulsive human being. Looks makes Chuck Schumer look charming. This Nadler starts tweeting yesterday about Kyle Rittenhouse, and it's just lies. He just lies about everything. He crossed state lines with a rifle. He never crossed any state lines. But, you know, it's one thing to get things wrong or make up crap or lie on Twitter, but this guy's the head of the Judiciary Committee. He's supposed to know better than that. So pretty embarrassing stuff. Anyway, we'll take some calls in a minute. Hey, if you got a Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow, you got a lot of relatives, and you're worried now, you're going to get into a fight about politics. What happens when Uncle Leo, the crazy liberal, starts yelling all this crazy liberal stuff? What do you do? How do you argue? Well, we can talk about that if you want. Just give me a call. 800-321-0710 is the number. Hey, check out the webpage. There's some great video up there. Oh, if you love The Sopranos, I've never really seen these before. These are some great outtakes and bloopers from The Sopranos. Take a look at that. Also, if you love Seinfeld, here's the cast then And now, look at the difference. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark. Hey, we'll take some calls. 800-321-0710 is the number. Elon Musk, now worth $300 billion. Was it just a second ago we finally got somebody worth $100 billion? He's worth $300 billion at this moment. $300 billion. Now, can you imagine if this, he had a hole in his pocket and $100 billion fell out just as he's walking over the sewer and it fell down there, lost forever. Doesn't even have to be upset. Still got $200 billion. What difference would it make to him? Anyway, let's take some calls. Let's go to Rich in South Carolina. Rich, how you doing?
Hey, thank you, Mark. Happy Thanksgiving. It's a chilly 29 degrees down here this morning.
Really?
You know, you're talking,
I thought that's why you moved down there, for the good weather. It's the same weather we got.
You know, you're talking about all these hoaxes and being con. You know, this climate change is another one. Pelosi buys a $25 million mansion in Florida, of all places, on the water. When is America going to wake up and realize all these millionaire and billionaires who are screaming the oceans are going to rise are buying million-dollar mansions on the water?
That's a very good point. Thanks for calling. Yeah, there is, according to real Democratic leaders, they don't believe in this climate change. They keep telling you the ocean's going to rise. There'll be no more coast. It'll be flooded. Meantime, Al Gore, two houses on the water. Obama has bought two houses right on the water. CNN moved their headquarters here in New York from Columbus Circle to the water right on the Hudson River. Nancy Pelosi just bought a house in Florida, $25 million. Right on the water, right on the ocean. So she says she doesn't believe this climate change. Hey, the other thing is, why would you get a house in Florida? Well, you like the warm weather. But she's in California. Same weather. So it's obviously not about the weather. She wants to escape the California taxes. So with one purchase, she admits there's no climate change, according to her. And she can't stand California taxes. Probably the crime, too. She had to get the hell out of there. Let's go to Ron in Tampa, Florida. Hey, Ron, how you doing?
Good morning, Mark. How you doing?
Happy
Thanksgiving. But what you, what Steinbrenner told you about acts of charity, that comes from the Bible. That comes from the book of Matthew, I think.
I didn't think he made it up. I assume he got it from somewhere. If you do anything for charity, if you give money, anything for charity, don't tell anybody about it. No one is supposed to know except you and the person you helped. If you tell anybody, if anybody else knows, you did it for the wrong reason. Hey, what's the temperature down there in Tampa?
It's 63 degrees, kind of cool.
Oh, okay, good. See, it's cool everywhere. All right, thanks for calling. Yeah, I was talking to somebody in Florida last night, and he said, it's freezing tonight. It's really, what's the temperature? It's down in the 60s. They thought that was freezing. Let's go to Dave in Chicago. Dave, how you doing?
Good morning, Mark. Doing very well, thank you. Mark, last night I was watching the interview with former President Trump with Sean Hannity, and Kyle Rittenhouse requested a visit at Mar-a-Lago, and apparently Mr. Trump was very impressed with him. Is it possible that he might be subject, Rittenhouse, to any civil lawsuits? We know he's going to be awarded millions of dollars from the networks and other journalists.
Yeah, he will. That's a very good question. Thanks for calling, Dave. He will be, it's very likely, the three people that were shot, there could be lawsuits. Two are dead, obviously, but the families, the estates, they can come after Rittenhouse. Rittenhouse is going to make a lot of money. He will collect, I remember the kid, Nicholas Sandman, with the MAGA hat and the old guy with the drum, and the media totally slandered him. Well, he walked away with hundreds of millions of dollars. CNN, Washington Post, all these media outlets had to settle. They couldn't even go to court. They had out and out lied about this kid, out and out doctored the video. They had to settle. So he made hundreds of millions. You could see the same thing with Kyle Rittenhouse. And then that would inspire the other side, the guys that were shot, those families, to go after him civilly. I don't think they could win anything. Standard is lower in the civil court. But it was clearly self-defense. You've got an absolute ruling from a court, from everybody. So most likely, be like, you know, the one thing with this Kyle Rittenhouse, self-defense, he was not guilty, should have been acquitted. But what the hell was he doing in this riot, walking around with that gun? And He is acquitted. You saw he just broke down. He collapsed in tears when he was acquitted. It was such a great moment. If I were him, I would disappear for a while. Do the one. It's good to do the Tucker Carlson interview because you can't just disappear. People have questions. So you got to do the one big interview, let everybody hear you, then go away. I didn't like the fact that he suddenly showed up at Mar-a-Lago. It wasn't Donald Trump inviting him. He called Mar-a-Lago, asked for Donald Trump. His mother actually called and said, we're in Florida. Could we come meet you? What the hell is he doing in Florida all of a sudden? And if you're in Florida, if you're Kyle Rittenhouse, you just got through that trial and you're in Florida, I would assume it's to get away, vacation, rest, regroup. What are you doing at Mar-a-Lago, the biggest, flashiest place, posing with Donald Trump, taking pictures? I don't know. This could get bad. If I start to see this guy doing an Oprah interview, going on game shows, he's on Dancing with the Stars, I don't know. This better keep an eye on this kid. Hey, when we come back, Lionel will be with us. Let's see what he thinks about all of this coming up. Well, Lionel, of course, one of the great talk show hosts and a YouTube star. You can watch Lionel Nation at YouTube. You know, he's also an attorney, a former prosecutor, and follow him on Twitter. Just go to lionelmedia.com, his website. Lionel, how you doing?
Mark, how are you? Happy Indigenous thanks, whatever this thing is. By the way, you do know you're popular. Obviously, you're killing them in the ratings. Number one in every metric there is. Even my dear friend Teresa the other day says, do you know Mark? Someone said, know him. Taught him everything he knows, but not everything I know. Now, Mark, a couple of things. Let's talk about Rittenhouse very quickly. You are very, very astute legally, juridically, and let's go down the list. First of all,
juridically,
Rittenhouse
I like
should
that. Okay.
Shut up and go home. He won. He is not endearing. He's weird. He's elfin. He's strange. He is rehearsed. Here's a guy using terms actual malice. Somebody explain New York Times against Sullivan to him. Come on. Come on. They're using him from Tucker to this one to that one. They buy him a couple of suits. They're doing documentaries. Go home. You won. Now, I want to dispel a couple of things here. We have this idea that somehow he's going to rake up millions of dollars in defamation. Now, you know, Nicholas Sandman, bless his heart, I don't think he made out like everybody says he did, but he certainly was entitled. But let me tell you a couple of things that he did. When he was on the mall with his Covington High School friends, and it was a pro-life rally or something, he runs into this Native American fellow doing the Gene Krupa, you know, on the drum. And the way the media portrayed it was they said that he blocked him, that he was basically confrontational. And the misstatements, the lies, the defamatory statements were about his activities, that he blocked this man, confronted this man, not that he called him a racist or a white supremacist or whatever. Mark, believe it or not, opinion is still guaranteed in this country. And he was not a defendant in a murder case. He was not on trial for murder. So if you sit there and say murder, rapist, racist, whatever you want, granted, that might be wrong, but for you to say that that rises to the level of impermissible opinion, and if he is not a public figure or a limited public figure under New York Times against Sullivan, which requires a heavier burden, no, I don't think he's anywhere near.
Well, let me make the other side. I'm not a lawyer, but he was a public figure by the time these comments were made. And racist, you could say that's a feeling and who knows. But white supremacist, isn't that an actual activity?
No, that's like calling somebody a jadrool or something. You know, I mean, it's kind of like it's a pejorative. The fact, now, if you said he's a member of the Klan, he's an Aryan Nation member, he's a Nazi, now we're getting specific. But let's move on. A couple of things here. First, don't you love the way all of a sudden, Mark, these people who have no respect for American sovereignty, no respect for these people who basically commit sovereignty and border burglary by entering our country illegally like a burglar does, who say, oh, come on, it doesn't matter, you know, borders. now all of a sudden are so fastidious and punctilious about crossing state lines. It's one thing that he had a gun, but this son of a gun crossed state lines, breached sovereignty, dared to enter. I don't even care what, but when you cross, when you traverse this Maginot line of freedom, oh, shut up. Now, I want you to remember something. Remember I told you this, and I want everybody to research this. We have been asking for the longest time, what are with these prosecutors basically trying to destroy the criminal justice system? Why is there bail reform? Why are they letting people out? Why are these Soros-backed and other woke anarchic prosecutors seemingly trying to destroy what's left of the criminal justice system? There is a doctrine, a policy, a theory called restorative justice, restorative practices. And let me tell you, when you're really going to see it, and what I'm going to tell you, you're going to think I've lost what's left of my mind. And it's absolutely true. There are people who are advocating, in the case of sexual battery, domestic violence, for the victim and the alleged perpetrator to sit down, hash it out, restore human connectivity, almost like a like an arbitration. We don't need no stinking courts. Sit down. Now, a woman, a child, a woman in particular, who has been savaged and ravaged by her assailant, never wants to see this person again. And if she declines, then ultimately that's going to be the basis for dismissal. This is what's happening. And this is all over the place. So just remember, just today, just do some research, restorative justice, and you will be amazed at how it's there. Now, as far as Mr. Brooks, our Mr. Brooks, you know what he's going to be? Pardon me?
The parade killer.
The parade, yes. He is going to claim, I had no intention, even though I have a history of running people over, you know, this, but this was not my intention at the time. I tried to swerve. You could hear me honk or swerve, whatever it was. I was freaked out. I was being chased. Chased and understanding in this system, a black man with a record, I would have never been afforded or accorded due process. Of course I ran. Of course I was. It was never intentional. I was just trying to get away. Nice try, buckaroo. Then finally, Mark, in the history of trial law, in the history of trial warrior status, this guy Binger, the prosecutor, did the worst cross-examination that anybody has ever seen. Law schools, trial advocacy seminars will be showing this one forever. It's the opposite of Irving Younger. It is the worst thing. For you to sit down, let me tell you, Mark, the first rule of cross-examination. I know we don't have a lot of time, but make time.
Yeah.
Number one, don't do it. This is the other side's witness. What are you going to do? Get him off. Get him out of here. Just say, beat it. No, not Binger. When he sat there and said, so, Mr. White Knight, why do you want to protect the people of Kenosha? You're from Antioch. What connection do you have? My dad lives there. Boom! Then he would ask somebody, so, Mr. Rittenhouse, what, pray tell, gave you the impression, gave you the notion that anybody was trying to kill you? He said he was going to kill me. Boom! One after another. So in case you missed it during direct, he's bringing it up on cross. And when this, finally, I got to tell you this, when you dare comment on a defendant's right to remain silent, that is automatic, absolute third rail mistrial. I don't care if it's a traffic hearing, anything. But the reason why Schrader and the boys had to wait a little bit was they knew the acquittal was coming. That was one of the best balancing ever. I could grant this for you, but let's wait a little bit so if they come back guilty, then we'll take it up later on. It was one for the ages, Mark.
Well, he was lucky he got that judge. That was the perfect judge for that. So.
Well, but he was actually much better. I know they thought, you know, he was a bit of a Judge Ito. Not even close. But finally, no. Mark, I mean, Rittenhouse, if you're listening, go home. Go home. Get away. No more TV. That's enough. No books. No movies. No lawsuits. Just go disappear, and let's call the whole thing off and forget it ever happened.
Well, Mark, everybody, if you want to see more of Lionel, just go to Lionel Nation at YouTube. Millions of people watch him there. It's Lionel Nation at YouTube, and follow him on Twitter and all of that. You can go to his website, lionelmedia.com, lionelmedia.com. And Lionel, thanks for being with us.
All the best, Mark. Happy holidays.
All right. Gotcha. You too. Take care. Check out the webpage. There's some great stuff up there. Now, The Sopranos is having an incredible revival, especially younger people who didn't see it the first time around. It's become like the hottest show to stream. Now, maybe you've never seen, you've probably never seen this. These are some very funny outtakes, bloopers from The Sopranos with all your favorite characters. Take a look at this. Also, if you love Seinfeld, here's the cast then. And now, look how everybody has changed. It's all up on the website. Just go to 710WOR.com/Mark. It's 710WOR.com/Mark. Hey, congratulations, Brian Stelter. You know that wormy-looking little guy on Sunday morning on CNN? Apparently set a new record. Ratings had plunged to the lowest ever on that Sunday morning show. This Brian Stelter is the most biased guy in the world. And the show's called Reliable Sources. He's the media critic. I mean, you couldn't be less qualified to be a media critic than him. But record low ratings. And then this past week, apparently set an all-time new record for the lowest ratings ever for Sunday morning. Now, the word is that something's going to happen to CNN in the coming year. AT&T is now taken over. They're embarrassed by the over-the-top bias on CNN. They don't think it's good in the long run. So John Malone is one of the top guys who's got a big chunk of it, the great business guy, actually said it out loud on CNBC. Time to change CNN back to a news network. Go back to straight news. There's talk of firing everybody over there. Anyway, we'll get back to that in the next hour. We'll get lots to get to. Don't forget, coming up, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton at noon. You got the number one most listened to radio show in the world, Sean Hannity at 3. Then you got Jesse Kelly at 6, John Batchelor at 9. I'm here every day, 10 to noon. Back after the news on 710 WOR.